That's right. Let's stand. If you have a King James Bible, we'd invite you to read along with us. If you're carrying something else, we'd appreciate it if you just listen. We're going to start at verse 6. I'll read the first verse. You read the second. We'll go up to verse 12. Okay? And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." And he said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape."
And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee.
I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands.
Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children."
And thou saidst, "I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the rich blessing that you've given us. I ask you to bless this revival meeting as it goes throughout this next week and lead the people here that need to hear. Bless the messenger with the messages that need to be spoken. And may your spirit have his way. Now bless this Sunday school class. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. We closed on this last week, but I wanted to go over it again because of the prayer. Jacob has all his life been a schemer. He's a scoundrel. In a lot of ways, I don't like him. And yet, he's the one that God loves, and he said, "Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved." But I just don't like liars and cheats and schemers and stuff like that. It just bothers me. And that's what Jacob was. Now, his brother Esau said, "I'm going to kill you." And Jacob knew enough to believe him. You know, Esau was a man's man. He was a tough guy. And Jacob was a mama's baby. And, you know, he knew that if Esau said he was going to kill him, that he could do it. And he would do it. So he's afraid of him. Now, 20 years ago, he left with his brother Esau's threat. "I'm going to kill him," because of what he'd done. He cheated and lied and got the blessing and the birthright and all that other stuff like that. The only thing going for Jacob is he has a spiritual mind. He's not a good man. He's a crook. But he wants spiritual things. Now Esau's one tough dude. You know, he's a hunter. He's a outdoorsman. He's strong and whatever. But he doesn't care a thing about spiritual things. They just don't. And that's what God is looking at. He's looking at those spiritual mind in Jacob and not in Esau. But that still doesn't give Jacob the right to do what he did. And so he's a schemer. His name is a supplanter, a heel catcher. Well, he leaves home. He goes and spends 20 years with Laban and his mother's family. Well, now then it's 20 years is up and he's leaving Laban because him and Laban have been working to scheme and outdo each other. And they're just about the same kind of people. Now he comes down here and he's in the chapter before. He and Laban set things in order and Laban's running out there just mad. And then he realizes these wives are my daughters. These children, grandchildren, they're my children. And what am I going to do, you know? Some people you just don't take an exact vengeance on. And so Laban had been warned of God in a dream, said, "Don't you mess with Jacob. You leave him alone. Don't you say anything to him, good or bad." And that's what he did. So he kissed all of his children. hugged them, and they made a covenant, and they went back home. Now, that's just occurred. Now then, he has been sending oxen and gifts to his brother with his servants. He's a rich man now, and he sent his servants out with 200 sheep. He sends them out with other things like that. And he's given him expensive gifts, and he gives them to Esau, and he's sending these messengers out. And the messengers come back and said, we found Esau all right. He's coming to meet you with 400 men. Man, men that Esau could command. So that scares the living daylights out of Jacob. And so Jacob begins to scheme again. But what he did was, he got smart. He prayed. Now, his prayer, I told you last week, mark it in your Bible so you'll see it every time you can. Because this is the way to pray. I don't care if you've been a preacher for 50 years, you don't go to God and say, you know me because I've been preaching for 50 years. He doesn't owe you anything. He's already given you more than you deserve. And when that final time comes, you're going to know that God saved you by grace, not by anything you did.
Amen.
If you had any part in your salvation, you'd lose it the first day. Do you ever drop anything? Do you ever slip and break some fingers? I mean, does anything happen to you like that? Sure it does. It happens to all of us. We're a pitiful bunch to be bragging on ourselves. So don't go bragging on yourself when you're going to pray to God. Now, this is the first time this kind of prayer is prayed by Jacob. You remember the prayer 20 years before when he's going down in a chapter or so before? He said, God, if you'll give me clothes and give me food and bring me back safely here, you'll be my God. And he said, boy, I'm at the place of the house of God. Angels are just going up and down the ladder, you know, and that caused a lot of confusion. Some people preaching like, you know, you're getting up the next rung of the ladder, finally you do enough stuff to finally reach heaven. Ridiculous. But he had a place and he called it Bethel, house of God. And he goes on down, and while he's with Laban, he and Laban are just alike. I mean, he serves him 7 years for Rachel and he gives him Leah. Do you know that Christ came through Leah? Didn't come through Rachel. Came through Leah. Do you know who's buried with Jacob? Leah. Rachel didn't make it. She didn't live. She had two sons, but died in childbirth. You know something? He's afraid of Esau. And when he hears he's coming with 400 men, you think that's an army. That's an army. And you talk about, if they're the crowd that follows Esau, what kind of crowd are they? They're tough brothers. Yes, man, I want you to know, I wouldn't like to see Esau riding in on a horse with 400 men behind him coming after me. So I can easily understand how Jacob is very scared and watch him pray. He's done all his scheming. By verse 8, he said, I've got this scheme. If they kill this one, maybe this one will get out alive and so on. So he's put his least favorite wives first and his next to favorite wives first, and then down to his favorite wife with him. You know, he's got four wives and 11 children at this time, and he's about 40 years old. He's greatly distressed, it says. He's greatly afraid and distressed, verse 7. Now look at verse 9. This is the first time he is on the right basis praying for God. He's 40 years old. O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me. Now here's another thing. He's quoting scripture back to God. Where'd he get this? God gave him that in a vision. He said, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. You told me that, Lord, and here I am. I'm facing Esau and 400 men. He's afraid. He's greatly afraid. He knows he deserves to be killed by Esau. He does. He deserves it. He's a scoundrel. But then he makes a statement. After he quotes, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return to thy country, I'll deal well with thee. Look at verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. That's you. That's you.
Amen.
That ought to be the way you start praying every time you pray. There ought to be a humility about you. There ought to be a humility coming into the presence of God and thinking of all the blessings. I don't care what you're going through right now. Think of all the blessings that God's already given you. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Man, tell God so. You ought to open your mouth and ought to tell God so. Man, I know I'm not worthy of all the mercies I've received or of all the truth. He didn't have the truth we have. He did not have the truth. If anything was written in the Bible, it was the book of Job. That would have been all. I think that's the oldest book. And I don't think they had all the rest of these things. And these are books of Moses. Moses is a grandchild down the line of Jacob. He didn't have what you have. So maybe we shouldn't judge him too harshly because you have an awful lot of light. Do you ever put any light into your life? You ought to be putting light into your life.
Amen.
Every time you open up the Bible, there's going to be something there that could bless your heart. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou showed unto thy servant. With my staff I passed over. I came down here as a 20-year-old with just a walking stick. Look at, I'm coming back. Two bands. Four wives, 11 sons, riches, herds of cattle, of all kinds. He's a rich man now. He's 40 years old, and he's been blessed by God. And he outmaneuvered Laban. All right. Now look at verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. He was wise to fear him. He was wise to fear him. Lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. He believed that Esau could come and kill him and his children. Wipe out everything that he has because he deserves it. He's guilty and he knows it. But he goes to God for mercy. That's a wise prayer. Right now, in this chapter and the next, you see the change in Jacob. And he becomes a prince of God with power with God and power with men. He's a different man. And he's blessed of God from here on in. He quotes back to God, you said you would bless me and do this. Well, I need it now. I need it now. Now, look at verse 19. Genesis chapter 32, verse 19. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. And he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the brook Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him till the breaking of day. Peradventure, look at verse 20. Right at the last part of the verse, peradventure. Peradventure. You'd ever do things peradventure? It just might be. Why don't you just trust God? It just might be he might bless you. And if he doesn't, what have you lost? Why don't you just trust God? He just might bless you. He might heal your body. He might restore your family. He might bring your kids out of drugs and drunkenness and stupidity. He just might. That's what peradventure is. Okay, I've done everything I know how to do. I've prayed. I've divided my family up. I've got my family out in droves going out, and they got plenty of space, miles between them, maybe even on different roads. And they're going out there to meet my brother who owes me this licking. And after he's done everything that he can do, he grows back across the brook and prays. Peradventure. Peradventure. You'll never get anything done if you don't take a chance sometime. And I tell you what, spiritually, you need to take chances on God. Do you believe the book? I believe the book. I don't believe the politicians. I don't think a single one of them that's out there trying to get your vote can do what he says he can do. I don't even know that most of them even want to do what they say they're doing. Amen. I don't believe in politicians. I've had skilled doctors lie to me over and over again. So I don't trust all doctors either. And the Bible says all men are liars. That means you're a liar sometimes. Wow. But you know what? From the time I got saved, 58, 59 years ago, I learned to trust this book. I have. I've trusted this book with the lives of my children, and I bet my life on it. And I believe that he'll do it. You know, when the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," saith the Lord. Do you believe him? Or do you think, no, God will let them get away with it? I gotta hurt them. Well, I do believe it. When he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," can you believe it? Amen. If you can believe it, you can get saved. Just taking God at his word. God is true to his word. Now, if you say, "God, give me a Cadillac. I just believe you can give me a Cadillac." I don't think you need a Cadillac. God might not think you need a Cadillac either. I go out at restaurants and I think they ought to take all the cell phones away from everybody eating. It disgusts me to see a mother and a father and two teenage kids, all four of them are on their own cell phone, nobody's talking. That's just me personally, okay? I think that's impolite. I think that's rude. Can you trust God? That's the whole thing. If you read your Bible, you ought to come to the place where you trust God. Seeing what God has done in the past and how he's done it in their lives, and right here with Jacob. Boy, we're in a chapter or two here. This is where it gets good. I mean, up to now, Jacob has not looked like a very nice fellow to be around. You better check your wallet and you shake your hand, you better count your fingers. Because he's a schemer. He's going to get the best for him no matter what it costs you. No, Esau, he just don't care. Let's go get a deer. You know. How about that? Peradventure. He's done everything in his power now. As smart as he is, and he is a real schemer. He's done everything he can do. He said, "I don't know what else to do. I've got him in separate bands. I've got gifts for him. I'm trying to appease him any way I can." Peradventure. It might be that God will bless. Well, has he ever blessed in the past? Oh, he blessed me in the past. I've been blessed. Amen. Do you know you've been blessed?
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, you got to ask God for specific things to know that you've been answered. You got to ask him for some specific things. And you got to recognize him when he answers them. You know, sometimes we forget we prayed.
Amen.
And we don't even know when God answers. So there's no glory and there's no joy and there's no growth in faith because you forgot that you prayed for God to do that for you. I've told this story sometimes, but all my stories are old. You just know that. I had a family move in across from me. It was a woman with a bunch of kids, 16 years old and down. And they would go out there in the front of that house with a hammer and just beat on the cement, you know, on the curb. And when they finally got them to move, they had kicked holes in the sheetrock and all through this house. Dara was a little bitty thing, not in school yet. And as oldest boy, about 16, would take metal-pointed arrows and shoot them from his yard towards her. I made her play in the backyard. And I would dream at night of going over and taking that 16-year-old and beating the snot out of it. You understand me? Mess with my daughter like that. I prayed. I said, Lord, if I do that, I'll go to jail. If I do that, I will be in jail. And it'll be a preacher beats up on a 16-year-old kid. You know? The kid deserved it. He didn't have a daddy big enough, and he didn't have a mama that would say anything to him. He was in bad shape, and they were in bad shape. And there was another thing that happened, and the two things I prayed about them on a regular basis. And then they got up and moved, and the other thing took care of itself, and I didn't even think about it. About a month later, I thought, they moved. They moved. Wow, they're not over there anymore. They're fixing the house up. They're going to sell it to somebody else. Praise the Lord. They moved. I didn't have to go over there and take care of it. God did it. And I didn't go to jail. I actually thought about paying off my two sons to go over and take care of it. But I didn't. You know what? God answers prayer. Now, I was a little late in thanking God and blessing God for His answering my prayers. I was a little late because I was busy making a living, busy preaching the gospel, trying to start a church and doing other things like that. I was busy. But that's no excuse. You ought to thank God when God answers your prayers. And if God answers some prayers, you'll learn to believe Him. Okay. Now, look at verse 24 of chapter 32. And Jacob was left alone. He's taken care of all of his herds. He's taken care of all of his wives and kids and his servants. He's taken care of everybody that he can possibly take care of. And he goes back across the brook. He's left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Okay. He's done everything he can possibly do. He's already been praying, but now he goes back to pray. I don't understand all about the man wrestling with him. I don't know whether that was God in the presence of an angel, taking on human form and coming down and actually wrestling with Jacob. And you understand, all God has to do is put his little finger down and you'd be out of commission. You also know, don't you, that in wrestling, your legs are very, very important. One of them's out, you lose. You don't win. In real wrestling, I'm not talking about these guys that throw each other, you know, these 300-pounders that throw each other with masks on and stuff like that. That's not real wrestling. That's showmanship. Of course, they've got a lot of ability. They're very strong, and they know how to fall and land without killing themselves. And so they I guess they put on a good show, and a lot of people love it. But that's not real wrestling. But you get into really Greco-Roman wrestling like they do in college and in the Olympics, legs are very important. He's not just strong man arms. When God touched the thigh of Jacob's leg, he put him out of commission. No way for Jacob to win. And yet he says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. How about that for some determination? How about that? Have you got anything that you're praying about like that? Well, I don't think any of us in here are facing what Jacob was facing. He was facing the wipeout of his entire family. He was facing a battle that would be bloody. He was facing the death of his children. That night he is facing terrible, tremendous repercussions of his own sins. He's serious. You know what we do a lot of times? We don't pray very serious.
Amen.
We go through the motion of prayer.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this food. Bless us for no more.
Right. Yes, sir.
We go through the motions. And then wonder why God isn't interested in our praying.
Amen.
Well, maybe if you prayed serious, God might get serious with you. Maybe if you had something you really wanted that you're going to wrestle with God, God might change your name. And we wouldn't say weakling or sissy. We'd say soldier, prince, power. That's what we got here. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Jacob's thigh was out of joint, verse 25. And then the angel told him, or God told him, Jacob says it's God. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob. You remember what Jacob means? Supplanter, heel catcher. He's somebody that's going to get you healed. I've got a dog that's a healer. It's a blue healer from Australia. And what they do is they bite the cattle or the sheep on their heels. That's how they run them. They can put them anywhere they want them. They go behind them. They're real, very fast. They're very strong. And they bite them on the heels. And they call them a healer. And he's heel catcher. He's a supplanter. He's a schemer. He's going to do anything. And he's not going to be held up by morals. Man, it just shocks me when he's talking to his father Isaac and he's dressed up as Esau. And he invokes the name of God. And I think, whoa, you stepped over the line, Jacob, old boy, when you did that. He's something else. He went back over there and he wrestled the man until the breaking of day, all night. Like, you ever prayed all night? You ever had something so serious you prayed all night? You couldn't sleep. All you could do was pray. And I'll tell you, parents, when you got teenage kids and they finally have a driver's license, you're in trouble because you can't protect them. The truth is you can't protect the little ones. You think you can, but you can't. You can't really do it. What do? You pray. I raised 5 kids. They're all grown. Let me tell you what, I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of talking to them, a lot of warning them, a lot of threatening them. I did all sorts of things trying to get my kids grown good. But you pray. You pray a lot. Lord, give my poor young girls who want to be beautiful, who want to be desirable, give them wisdom. Help them not to be stupid. Give my boys, they don't need to be that tough. They don't need to be with that crowd. They don't need to drive that fast. You ever pray? You ever pray all night? Well, that's what Jacob was doing. He's facing Esau and 400 men, and he deserves to be killed by Esau. He really does. He's a scoundrel. His sins are coming back to catch him. And the man he's wrestling says, "Let me go. It's daylight. Daylight's breaking." And Jacob makes a tremendous, tremendous statement. Here's another thing to go along with that prayer we just read when we started the lesson today, that we finished on last week. "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He's dealing with God. And he's asking for a blessing. Do you think God would pay attention to you if you asked him to? Well, I think he would. I think God pays attention. You know what he calls his house? House prayer. House of prayer. Do you realize the tremendous blessing you have in that God will actually hear you? Amen. The governor of Texas won't hear me. Barack Obama won't hear me. The new guy that's going to get in, whoever it is, they're not going to hear me. I'm a nobody. I'm just an old country boy that got saved, raised by two of the sweetest hicks that ever lived. I know I sound like a hick. I'm well educated. Taught English for 20 years. But you know what? God heard my prayers. I remember the night.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember the night. I was in Roswell, New Mexico in the military, and I'm praying to God, "Wow, forgive my sins. Save my soul and change my life." Wow, what a change. One day, and it's never been the same since. My buddies, I told them I was quitting smoking, drinking, gambling, cheating, lying, whatever. I got saved. I surrendered to preach. They said, "I'll give you 2 weeks. You'll be back with us in 2 weeks." 58 and a half years.
Lord, amen.
I haven't gone back. Well, what do we got here? We got a man that's serious. We got a man that is scared to death. We got a man that thinks he's going to lose his children, all of his wealth, and his wives at the hand of an angry brother. Wow. And he said, "I will not let thee go. God, I can't live without this. This is your will for me. This is what I need to do to please you. This..." If we prayed a little more sincere, we might see a lot more prayers answered.
Amen.
Yeah, we read our Bibles. I know. We read a few chapters and we pray a little bit. We thank the Lord for the food so it goes down and digestible. But we're not really praying serious. Now, I'll tell you what, I had a year I prayed serious. My oldest boy was struck down with spinal meningitis, and he was blind, dumb, and crippled. He was 16 years old. They had him in the hospital. The experts tell me there's not a thing they can do for him. Nothing. My wife and I went to the library, read up everything we could on spinal meningitis, and then we went home and prayed. And we prayed and prayed until we got in our minds, whatever God does is going to be right. And I had a friend that was a nurse that came to visit us. She told me later, "I didn't think y'all knew how serious your boy was." Oh, yeah. We knew how serious he was. There wasn't anything we could do about it but pray. The same year, Billy right there, little idiot that he was, decides he wants to make hydrogen gas out of lying aluminum. And it explodes in his eyes. And he comes running into the house. He doesn't tell me anything. He just comes running into the house and goes into the bathroom. And I hear all this water going. What's all the water going for? So I go in there and he tells me what it is. And I look at his eyes, and there's cumulus clouds already over both pupils. So we take him out to the hospital. There was an old man there, an old Jewish doctor, been practicing 34 years. He saw industrial accidents like this all the time. I said, "Doc, how long will it be before those scars leave his pupils?" He said, "Never." Here's what he told me. He said, "I've been doing this for 34 years. I have never seen them go away." And he put salve in his eyes and bandaged his whole head up. We brought him home and got down by his bed and prayed. And I didn't say, "God, I've been preaching for you. I've done this and I've done that." I said, "God, I don't deserve to have a boy with eyesight any more than any other Christian. And I don't deserve anything from you. But I ask for mercy. I ask you to give my son his sight." A week later, when we took him off, and right now, there's not a white spot in there. And that doctor told me, that Jewish doctor told me, he was about, no, he wasn't as old as me. He was an old man anyway. He said, "I've never seen that before." That was the year that Susanna was born and my daddy died. That was the year. You know what? God answered my prayer on Eddie. You'll see him tonight. He's about as big as me. Not quite, about as big as me. Not as big as David either, but about as big as me. And he's almost 60 years old. And he looks big and fat and healthy. He was 16 when he tried to talk to us. It was and after he got out, I said, "What were you trying to say?" "I was trying to tell you that I couldn't see." That's right. He was blind, dumb, and crippled. That one year, God answered all those prayers for me. Now, I'm not a healer, and I don't go around practicing healing, and I don't know that my prayers would work for you. They worked for me. I was serious. I wasn't just, "Lord, it's time to pray." No, no, I was hurting. I was hurting for my children. I was hurting for my wife. We got serious praying. That's what this man's doing. Jacob is seriously praying. And God says, "Okay, we've done this all night. You've lasted a long time. Good, let me go." "No! I will not let thee go." Wow. I preached on that a bunch of times. That's a good verse. "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And you know what happened? God blessed him. Woo! What a difference! This charlatan, this liar, this schemer, he turns into a prince of God. Wow! What a change! Amen? What a tremendous change! "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and hast prevailed." How about power with God and power with men? How about being able to prevail in your spiritual life? Well, you might be able to if you prayed a little more and you hung on to God a little more and you really meant it and you prayed about something that really meant something to you. An awful lot of the prayers we pray don't really mean that much to us.
Amen.
And so we're not seriously praying.
Amen.
Jacob was seriously praying. Now look down at chapter 33. "Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came." Sooner or later you're going to meet Esau again. "Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children from Leah and unto Rachel and unto two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. How about showing humility?
Amen.
He's coming back. He's meeting Esau. And boy, is he humble. He bows himself to the ground 7 times as he goes up to approach Esau. That's pretty humble. "And Esau ran to meet him." I love this. I love this. Esau is not mad. Esau didn't bring 400 men to be an army. He brought them to meet a king. He brought them to meet and honor his brother. He wasn't out to kill him. He'd forgotten that a long time ago. Forget it. Look what he says. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And it makes me weep. It does. What a beautiful story. What a wonderful, happy ending. But you know what it did? It scared the living daylights out of Jacob, and God made a spiritual man out of him. You know Jacob limped the rest of his life? You know, every time he limped, he had to think about fighting God. He had to think about being blessed, changed from Jacob to Israel. Every time he limped. How could you forget it? God marked him. Has God ever marked you? Well, he will. God Almighty can mark you in your life and change your life around. And here he said that he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are these with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaids came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after that, Joseph came near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. What a procession. Jacob bows 7 times going out to meet Esau. They run and hug on each other's neck and cry. They were brothers. They were twins. They've been separated 20 years because of their problems and their sins. Now then they're hugging each other, and grown men, 40 years old, are weeping for joy, for being back together again, for being forgiven. Verse 8, chapter 33, verse 8. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" Esau's befuddled. What in the world are you doing giving me stuff? You think I need all those sheep? You think I need all those oxen? You think I need all that stuff? "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." You notice how many times, you ought to count them, that Jacob called Esau Lord. And remember what Isaac said. That you'll break his bands off of you. Well, they're off. They're off. He's calling him Lord. Esau is calling Jacob Lord time and time and time again. "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." Look at verse 9. This verse breaks me down. Esau said, "I have enough, my brother." Wow. "I have enough. I don't need what you got. You don't have to buy me." I could tell you, God didn't like Esau so well, but I like Esau a whole lot. I really do like Esau. I guess I grew up with a hunting group of people, you know, and I liked Esau. But you know, Esau had to just about look like Chewbacca. If you'd have to take a goat skin to make your hair, like what kind of hair he had on his body. He was something else. "I have enough. I have enough." Can any of you get enough? We're Americans. Your garage is full. You're still buying. Isn't that right? You can't even park your cars in your garage. And you're still buying. You never get enough. Do you ever get enough? We don't get enough. You got 3 guns, you'll go out and buy 2 more. Oh, well, you got 3 cars, you can go buy 2 more. Well, I got to have a new one. Why? The ashtrays are full. Do you ever get enough? Do you ever get enough? We don't ever get enough. We would ruin the American way if all of us said, "I have enough." We'd all go broke. Stock market would crash. This is so beautiful to me. Do you know what happened? I'm not sure. how Isaac and Rebekah prayed. I'm not sure how they prayed. But here, when their twins are 40 years old, they're finally grown up. They're finally spiritual men. They're finally somebody you could be proud of. There's somebody that both of them have enough. And they've hugged each other and cried and wept and forgiven each other. And wow. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I find grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I'd seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Jacob's got a change. Here's the change in Jacob. Up to this time, he's not very praiseworthy. He's a stinker. A scoundrel. You wouldn't want to do business with him. You certainly wouldn't want him for a partner. But now, he's a prince of God, with power with God and power with men. He's made things right with his brother. They're hugged and kissed. Oh, they'll never like each other too much. But, bless your heart, they've grown up. I have enough. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And then Jacob down in verse 11 says, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough, he has enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Esau says, I've got enough. I don't need what. You don't want to give me gifts. You don't need to buy me off with gifts. I have enough. And Jacob says, please take it. I have enough. Isn't that a beautiful chapter? Is that a beautiful chapter? I tell you what, it is. It's a beautiful. That is a blessing to me. I can't read that without tearing up. Thinking, God took them 20 years to get to this place. But they both got there. See, not only Jacob got a blessing, but Esau got a blessing. Esau's grown up. Forget it. So my brother lied. So he did this. And he went off and wasn't home for 20 years. He forgave him. He just ignored it. He wept. That big old outdoors man, that hairy dude, that hunter, he wept when he hugged his brother again. Yeah. I know some of you don't get in contact with your family very much. You ought to. You ought to. Your brothers and sisters. Family is important. One of the most important things to me is family. I've tried to plan through the years to get them together all the time. I'm getting them together. And I love it. It's worth something to me. Look at him right here. Your family. I had a man, believer. He was talking to me, and he and his son were estranged. Son's grown, 50 years old. And he said, but we don't talk to each other. And he said, don't you think it's his responsibility to call me? I said, no. You're the dad. I think it's your responsibility to call him. You put it together. You call him up. If he doesn't like talking to you, you talk to him anyway. And next month you call him again. And next month you call him again. You stay in touch. And it's your responsibility. He did. Wasn't 3 weeks. His son was over there in a nice new car with California plates. Working out on the place. That was my neighbor out in the country. And what a blessing. You need to keep contact. You say, well, my brother's a stinker. Well, so was Jacob. I doubt your brother was as big a stinker as Jacob was. Now, he might have been, but... There are people like that around us, you know. You need to contact. You need to contact with your children. You need to contact with your family. I've been preaching almost 59 years. I've visited a lot of nursing homes. You know there are people in nursing homes that do not get a visit from even their own children, and they live in this town. Right now. That's a shame. That's a shame. You say, but it's so such a drag to go visit and see them in such bad shape. Yeah, I know it is. How do you think they feel? If they have any sense about them at all, how do you think they feel? Go visit them. Go down there, sit beside them, hold their hand, pray over them, love them a little bit. And okay, if you can't stand it but 10 minutes, then that go 10 minutes a week anyway. I think it's a rotten shame that people are in nursing homes and just dying off and you don't even visit them. Only visit they get from a pastor maybe once a week or every couple of weeks. May not even get that. A lot of them don't even get that. You know what? This is just a beautiful, beautiful chapter to me. It is a blessing to me. And I like it that they both had enough. Thank you.